about that with Tiva Negev, there being the Chalakim, a special dinam about Nerva Nitcha versus Nitcha to begin with.
Right.
So my word was just that conceptually speaking, in physics there are two concepts. There's a concept, let's say something goes once a certain alloy, and now it's another alloy, it doesn't work. Then there's a concept that something that changed, okay? And sometimes, in case B, it's the process of the change which puzzles.
Wow.
Not the fact that it was one, because once this and not that sounds historical, who cares? But sometimes it's the process that does it. So that's why it's really two different things. So you can say, let's say, something that's like a weaker kind of a construct works for one and not for the other, because this is the process of change that puzzles it. This is just the fact that nitcha, that it was nitcha historically.
Right.
Okay, so psychologically...
So nirva nitcha is a process.
In other words, it's the change that did it. Not the fact that it was once, you were once a good guy. But
the shma
did it.
Right.
The process of shma. And that's very... In the psychology, it's very negative sometimes, because sometimes it's the change, the process of change, which renders a person, like, disabled. Not the fact that he was once that, but the going through the change, the tribulation, the trauma is what does it, not the history.
So that's interesting, because then, if I have an esrog that was never kosher to begin with, which we call dichri menkara,
right,
it never went through that change.
That's fine.
Whereas you have something that was nira v'nidcha, it's almost like you're hitting it with a bat. So you know, well, you're making it possible.
It's in your face, so to speak. But yeah. In psychology, it's called your mechutzef. How dare you do that? That process of changing is like a mummer, worse than somebody who is always a shagetz.
Very good, excellent. Okay, Rabbi, so we want to start here on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, and we're looking at Tana Rabbanon. So let's just make sure everyone has the place. It's almost literally in the middle of the Amud. The first word of the line is Venira. It's about, if you add a Tosis Moda and you drop down about, I'd say about 5-6 lines, you'll see a line that starts Venira Lo Tifshot. You have that?
Yeah.
And that was the sugi that we did last week about Nira Venidcha, which we discussed a little bit now too. But Tana Rabbanan starts a pretty much a new sugya. Oh, Lenny, we have a Gemara for you. Here, we'll leave this for Lenny. Jay, you have a Gemara.
Sure.
Lenny, do me a favor. When you close the store, you got to give it a zit. Just doesn't close. Yeah. Okay. See, Joel, you started a trend. Okay. Okay. Ein matin biyontif. So going into Yontif, it was possible. Why was it possible? Because it had too many berries. And now on Yontif, he wants to be machshir the hadas by removing the berries, and he wants to use this hadas for the mitzvah of ulakachtem lachem. But the problem here is tikkun mana. Okay, so that's what it says in the Mishnah, Ein Mematim B'Yontif. The Braisa quotes a sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, which does not appear in the Mishnah. Jessica?
Sorry, I'm wondering, like, how much is it for? 5, 5, 5.
Okay. And he says, Mematim, that you're allowed to take off the berries on Yontif without hesitation. So the Gemara says, V'Hakam Esakein Mana. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon going to do with the argument of the Chachamim that you're violating Yontif by being machshir adas? That itself is called tikkun mana. Omer Rav Ashi, kigon shel likton lachila. So Gemara is now activating a new principle here in this sugya. It's new, I mean, called davar sheinu miskaven. His kavon is not to be machshir adas. His kavon is to eat the berries. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon savor lo kavua. And Rabbi Elazar is standing on the shoulders of his father. The Omar, Dover Shainim is Kavin Mutter. Okay? Dover Shainim is Kavin Mutter. Now, Rav Ossai, one of the things I would like to discuss with you today, if we get a chance, is whether we paskin like this Rabbi Shimon. And if we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that allows you lechatchila, it's mutu lechatchila, to engage in a malacha if it's an eno miskaveh. The only problem is that, as the Gemara is going to quote now, Abaye v'Rava, Moda Rav Shimon p'sik reisha v'lo yomus. But if it's a davash eno miskaveh without a p'sik reisha, so the results are unsure, uncertain, then it's mutu. And we're going to see that there's a whole school of thought in the Rishonim that accept Rav Shimon la halacha.
The Magid Rav Shimon that it's aser, you're going is the Rabbanan, the Araisa, or you're going about it?
So the Gemara just says the following. It doesn't really specify. It says, V'ya'omar v'abai v'rova di'amri chavai moder Rav Shimon b'psik reisha d'lo yomus. And the implication you get is that whatever Rabbi Yehuda is the adversary of Rav Shimon, he holds Dov Shem is Kavin is Chayav, Rav Shimon would agree in the case of Psik Reisha. So then, getting back to Sam's question, what's your, at least your first, you know, how should I say, your knee-jerk response to Sam's question? Are we talking about a Darabonin or a Doraisa here? Moder of Shimon. What does that sound like? Moder of Shimon.
I don't know, you go both ways, no?
But it's Moder.
No,
means if his views, then it's...
Yeah, Moder usually, again, is every rule has an exception, Joel, but Moder means that whatever my adversary maintains, my antagonist, or whatever you call it, then I accept him in the following conditions. It sounds like what Abaye v'Rava pointing out is that the whole enterprise of Rav Shimon, of Dov Hashanim Miskaven, is predicated on the fact that there's no psik reisha. And if there is a psik reisha, then Rav Shimon is going to drop the ball on Dov Hashanim Miskaven, which would indicate that we're talking about a doraisa here. Again, I don't have any proof positive, but just the first impression that you get. Okay. Now, in the case of removing the hadasim, what will be the status of this removing the anavim, what will be the status of the hadas as a result of this action of removing the anavim?
It'll be kosher.
There's no question about that.
Subsegration.
And if it's subsegration, you could vacillate as to whether he's going to benefit from that or not. Meaning he's interested in removing the berries, he's hungry for berries. You know, is he going to go ahead and use this hadas? Maybe he has an uncle who comes to visit and brings him his own hadasim from Tzfas. You know, he got great hadasim. I don't know. But what I do know is that he's definitely unquestionably being machshav hadas. So the tikkun mana is engraved in stone. It's a definite. So that's the Gemara's question. Even if Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is standing on the shoulders of his father and he's accepting the principle of Dov Hashanim Miskaven Mutar, but Moder of Shimon Psikration, this is the case of Psikration. Now, I was a little confused about this because when let's say there are seven berries on the Hadas, how many berries does he have to remove? I chose an odd number, so you can guess the answer. How many berries would he have to remove to make that das kosher?
Four.
Correct? Four out of... He can leave three on.
It doesn't matter how many berries. It matters berries are sleeves. There's more berries than...
Right, so let's say at one point you can determine which berry is the one that he has to get rid of. And he's been picking berries for a while. I'm wondering if this sugya of psikresha applies in that split second between berry number three and berry number four. I'm just using the numbers here. Mitch is right, you know, you have to consider other factors into the equation, but is there one berry that will take us rove in this direction, and the whole thrust of our Iser here, according to the Gemara's objection, is on that berry?
What's your other option?
Or shall we say that the whole process is awesome? Do you follow? Say, let's say, for example, this is a question
it
I have. I have this
session,
question all the time. I have this question. I have a fridge, and the light was unfortunately left on in the fridge, and I only find that out after I open the fridge. Boom! The light goes on. Would I be allowed to move the door towards closure step by step, and make the following claim that I don't know at what point the light is going to go off, so I can never actually pinpoint the psych ratio. Or shall I say that maybe the whole process of closing the door, that itself is a secret. So, like, I'm just wondering, like, let's say I hit the door a little bit and I don't know how far it's going to go. At that point, maybe it's not a secret. Or let's say I can move the door piecemeal, you know, move it an inch by an inch.
You can't have a small secret or a large secret.
But maybe there's a critical secret. You know, there's one point in which the light goes off, and that's the secret.
So you have a suffix secret because there's a suffix whether this little bit is going to cross.
Right, but I can only allow you to call it a suffix secret if you agree with me that I can dissect my action into component parts. And why not, you know, so again, now you have to know the halach of suffix secretion, right? That's a machlok stream, the Taz and Reb Kiveg about suffix secretion, you know, the famous case of closing the window and you don't know if there's a fly that's going to get caught in the window. But I'm just saying, if I want to get to the point at least where the Taz would be matir secretion because of the suffix secretion, I have to assume that if I'm starting a process that goes from A to Z, but it goes piecemeal, and I can never actually pinpoint exactly when I've crossed over the boundary line, then maybe that's a suffix secretion.
That's not
really. And say, what's the counter? What's the other alternative? And I'm saying the other alternative is to know that even though I'm doing this piecemeal, it's all part of a process, and the goal of that process is to achieve a malach.
That's not really a suffix ratio, is it? Because it's definitely going to go off at some point.
But I don't know at what point. Like, I don't know at what point I'm causing it to go off. So if you see the whole process as one entity, then that's a definite secretion. Then you're right, Lenny. I can't argue with you. But if you're willing to break it down into little parts, like each berry is a separate action,
it's not like the
then really the secretion is concentrated on that one berry that's machshel adas, and at that one pu'ula that I do, which causes the electricity to go off. You know.
You can't really say it's like the case of the fly, the window, because they don't know if the fly's there at all.
Oh.
Here, you know, definitely it's going to go off at some point.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's just go on. So, what's Gemara's answer to this? Rabosai, here's where we discuss. We start our discussion for today. The Gemara answers that there's no reason to object to Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon, and why is that? So the Gemara says, "Hachem b'mayaskin on to islay Hoshana Achrita." You remember this, yeah? Okay. So he has another Hoshana. Okay. Now Rabosai, let's assume.
I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. Hoshana Achrita.
He has another one in his closet. He has three Adasim.
Oh,
the word Hoshana in the Gemara's language really means the whole set. You know,
okay.
We use the word Hoshana for the Arava, but back in the time of the Talmud, the word Hoshana meant, you know, the three, the lulav together with the Adasim and the Arava. So he can get away without using this Hadas. It's not in any way critical for him, with regard to his mitzvah, to remove the berries. And actually the reason he's removing the berries is because he wants to eat the berries. So the Heksher Hadas is somehow not... I'm saying it in a deliberately vague way, because there's so many different ways of learning this Gemara, but the Heksher Hadas is not necessarily Tikkun Mana. It might be Tikkun Mana, maybe it's not Tikkun Mana. That we don't have the details worked out. But it's not, why isn't it Tikkun Mana? Because Tikkun Mana means I'm being makshed Hadas. For what? For the mitzvah of Hadas. But I don't need it. I have my other Hadas stashed away. So that's just in a vague, very deliberately vague way of explaining this Gemara. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a funny kind of question. Let's say you were the Rif or the Rosh and then we'll get to the Rambam, because the Rambam is always a little different. But the Rif and the Rosh took upon themselves to codify the Sugyas and Shas. In fact, both the Rif and the Rosh do it systematically based on the sequence of the Gemara. So when we get to this Mishnah, we expect that the sugya that we just learned should be brought down in the Rif and the Rosh. Now let's just theoretically imagine that we were sitting in the armchair, the Rif and the Rosh. What would be your final conclusion if you were formulating this halacha, without even understanding the mechanics of it? Just shall I say, cut and dry the technicality. Would you be allowed to remove the berries from a hadas on yontif? And if your answer is yes, are there any conditions that you want to impose?
You can remove them, but you can't remove the last one. That's going to make the hechsher.
Okay, but wait a minute. You omitted an important point here, Joel. What was the final maskar of the Gemara? Lezer of Shimon says you're allowed. Oh, so if you were the Rif, you would have written the following: Mutter lemait anovin biyantif im yeshlo hoshat achrita. Okay, that seems to be a summary of the bottom line, as we the utish deshur, as we say. Okay. Now, the Rif and the Rosh leave out the sugya entirely. They simply quote the Mishnah verbatim. Ein mematim es hanovim biyantif. Period. Now, one possibility which is explored as to why they omit this Gemara and they just quote the Mishnah, again, our whole sugya is based on a Braisa, is because this Braisa reflects the Shita of Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon. The Chachamim say that Ein Mematin Biyontif, right? Let's go over the Braisa. The Braisa says Ein Mematin Osu Biyontif, and Mishum Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon Amru Mutar. You're allowed to do it. Okay. We have a principle, Yochid v'Rabim. Who do we paskin like? The Rabim. So let's paskin. So one possibility is the Chachamim here disagree with Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon. They simply reiterate the Mishnah, Ein Mematin Hadasin v'Yontif, and that's why the Rif just quotes the Mishnah verbatim. He doesn't have to pay a stitch of attention to this Gemara, because this Gemara is built on a Yochid, Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon. But that's going to be a problem. Why is that going to be a problem? Because why does Reb Elezer Reb Shimon allow you to remove the Anovim? What does the Gemara say? No. Leave that. Don't complicate me. You know, you guys know too much. But just in the Gemara itself, it's called a Davar Shenem Eskavin. The Rif Paskins in Masechta Shabbos, like Reb Shimon, consistently, that Davar Shenem Eskavin is Mutar. So in the case of Anovim, didn't the Rif leave out a very important piece of the puzzle? Very nice that he quoted the Mishnah. Ein mematin es hanov biyantif. But wait a second, Reb Elezer Reb Shimon allows you to be mematin biyantif. Why? Because he's not miskaven. The Gemara says, it's a psik resha. So Gemara says, the islay shashat achrita. But the whole thing, kit and caboodle, is omitted by the Rif. And if it was only the Rif, okay, that's a problem. The Rosh omits the whole thing. The Rambam has a hint to it. I'll read to you the language of the Rambam. This, if you want to make a note of it, this is Perek Ches Mehilchas Lulav Halacha Hey. Oh, Mitch, you have a Rambam, so that's great. I forgot to bring in a Rambam, so I'm not going to bring it in right now. But I'll just read to you the language of the Rambam. You tell me, Mitch, if you have the same text in the Rambam. Perek Ches Halacha Hey. Hayu Anovim Anovav Merubos Me'olav. So he's got too many Anovim there. Im Yerokos Kosher. If the Anovim are still fresh, they're green, then that's called Hadar. That's the berries beautify the Hadas. V'im adomos, adumos, they're red. O shchoros, or they're black. Posel. V'im miyaton, kosher. Good. So he removed the berries and it's kosher. V'im v'matin oso biyot. Tikkun Mona, right? Ram doesn't mention Tikkun.
He does.
Oh yeah, he does. Lefishu kimitakin kim kishu shahu kimitak. Okay, a little strange language, kimitakin. Okay, but the Ram is well aware of the problem of mitak. Okay. Avar v'liktav. So now the Ram wants to tell you that if he violated this din, the hadas is still kosher. So he gets petch for removing the adnovim. But he could go ahead and use the hadas. That's a case where he violated these. Oh, now here the Rama presumably wants to tell us that I have a possibility of removing the anovim beheter. The first case that he said was he removed the iser, and then the Rama wants to give us a case where he can circumvent the iser, and then for sure the hadas will be kosher. What's the case? Shelikton echad echad liachila. Oh. Finally, after we failed with the riff, struck out with the rush, we finally hit a home run with the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that what? Likton lachila. Now I skipped two words. Let's read it again. Shelikton echad echad liachila. Do you have those words, Mitch?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Echad echad lachil. Maybe it means all the anovim, one by one. I don't know. The words echad echad are problematic. So
like
what I'm asking you to do is look in the Rambam. Yeah, maybe this is the Rambam has in mind my case where he wants to tell you that, you know, since he did it one at a time and we never know exactly, if, I don't know. Then you get into issues about suffix secretion. So the Rambam paskins that likton la'achila is kosher. That's for sure. So the Rambam seems to paskin like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon with the proviso, as the Gemara itself spells it out, that it's what? That it's islay hoshat achrit. Do you accept that? No. You don't want to accept that. Because you'd be on the wrong side of you'd be on the wrong team. Because the Rambam doesn't say a word about the fact that he has another hoshat. So this is really fascinating. We just went from one extreme to the other. On the one extreme, the Rif and the Rosh say, they don't qualify it. They don't give you even a clue of a green light as to how to solve this problem. You know, it's just usher, and that's the end of the story. The Rambam, on the other extreme, quotes the Gemara, and paskins like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and he allows you to take off the berries on Yontif le'achila, but he doesn't qualify it. And that qualification would have come in handy if the Rambam would have said the Islay Oshat Achrit. So I think that both the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah are aware of this problem. And the Magid Mishnah is so impressed with this problem. He's so, how shall I say in English, mituskal, how do you say that in English? He's so perplexed or anguished or whatever the word is, that he changes the gears in the Rambam. Could you imagine? And he says that you have to read the Rambam differently. And what's the text of the Rambam? Just one second. Oh, he says, instead of reading it, Likton Echad Echad Lachila, you should read it, Likton Acher Leachila. How do you translate the word Acher?
After.
No. That's Achar. Acher. I'm reading another person. Now this is interesting. Is the Rambam telling me, according to the Magid Mishnah's Girsa, that I'm not allowed to take off the berries lachila, but somebody else can do it for me? You know, like a Shabbos goy kind of thing. I don't know. Or maybe the Rambam is saying afilu acher, even somebody else. And the whole business about islei hoshat achrita is completely omitted. You know, you might get the impression from the Rambam that this acher, who's removing the berries, doesn't have another adas.
It's not his. It doesn't make a difference. He can't use it.
I think he can use it if he gets permission to use it. So I don't know if the Rambam is talking about a case where he did this against the will of the owner. I don't know. The Rambam doesn't qualify. So, you know, this is like tabula rasa. You know, like you can say whatever you want in this Rambam and get away with it because the Rambam doesn't tell you. And not only that, the girsa of the Rambam is unclear.
Two achers. It's echad. He's making say acher acher instead of
no, he doesn't have two achers.
No, I know. But
he takes echad echad out, and instead of echad echad, he has acher. So he has im likton acher kosher. I'm sorry, im likton acher lachila kosher. Right? Let me just read it again. One second. Maybe I made a mistake.
No, that's what it says.
Do I have it right? I don't want to make a mistake here. He says, yeah, likton acher lachila.
Why does it have to be an acher?
Oh, so first of all, why does it have to be an acher? And secondly, did the Magid Mishnah really solve our problem? The Magid Mishnah thinks he solved his problem because echad echad made no sense to him. So instead of echad echad, he's got acher. Okay, whatever that means, I don't know, but it's acher, it's somebody else. But he never really solved our problem because our problem was that the Rambam is omitting the Gemara. The Gemara qualifies it. When are you allowed to take off the berries? That's only because you have another Hoshata. The Rambam doesn't tell you he has another Hoshata. In fact, in my naivete, I would assume, because again, the Rambam tells me in his introduction that you don't have to know the Gemara. Just go straight to the Rambam. So I don't know the Gemara. So therefore, I don't know that he has another Hoshata. I would assume he doesn't have another Hoshata. And maybe... Again, I don't know if there's more of a statistical probability that if it's acher, then he may need the hadas more than the owner of the hadas. I don't know.
Well, that's not what he says specifically. Osha lipton acher ritzon olam mi she'eino tzorach latzeis b'hadas v'zeh borer.
Ah. So he wants to say that the acher doesn't need this hadas. So then the Magid Mishnah is accomplishing two goals. Number one, why does the Rambam say echad echad, which doesn't make any sense? So he has substitutes acher. Number two, the Rambam in fact paskins like Agamor. And the Isla Oshat Achrita, where the Rambam tell me the Isla Oshat Achrita, that it's probable that the acher has his own set of hadas. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
It's a situation of Lama Nichalai. He doesn't care.
Oh. Excellent. Maybe that's what the Rambam has in mind. That since he doesn't need this hadas, he's an acher. So the original owner probably needs this hadas. He doesn't have hadas. That's the way the Magid Mishnah is learning. But the Rambam wants to dramatize that there's someone here who's doing this miyud hadasim who doesn't need the hadasim because he's an acher. An acher. Maybe he's helping me out by taking out removing the adavim. But this acher has his own storehouse of hadas, and he doesn't need this hadas. That's how the Magid Mishnah is learning this Rambam. So let's just go over what we have over here. There's something that we know and something that we don't know. What we know is that the Rambam and that the Rif and the Rosh omit this whole sugya of Islei Oshat Achrita, and they give you the impression that under all circumstances, there's no exception to the rule. Under all circumstances, you're not allowed to be mamayit anovim from adas. We'll call it tikkun mona. They copy the Mishnah, and the whole sugya Rabbi Eliezer Reb Shimon goes l'timayon. It's completely omitted. Is it possible that the Rif and the Rambam would paskin against our sugya because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda? That Dorshin and Miskaven is Chayim. So under all circumstances, I'm prohibited from removing these berries because even if I'm interested in Achila, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That approach is absolutely unacceptable because we know, at least in the case of the Rif, and I'm pretty sure in the case of the Rush as well, that they pass like Rabbi Shimon over and over again that Dorshin and Miskaven is Mutter. Which means they should have actually invoked this sugya, codified it, la locha, that if he's only interested in the berries lachila, then it's mutar. And then we have the Rambam, that the Rambam does actually accept the heter of yontif. He's allowing you to do this on yontif. And the Rambam says that everything's kosher. Why? Because it was lachila. And if it was lachila, then it's a dover shein miskan. So at least the Rambam has given us a leg to stand on that we pass it like Reb Shimon. We're going to accept Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon that you're allowed to be mamai beyond if it's lachila. And maybe if we add the Magid Mishnah to boot, the Rambam is talking about a case where he doesn't need, since it's someone else, he doesn't need this hadas, and therefore it's like the case of Israel Shat Achrita. Now Dr. Joel says we can invoke the principle of the Aruch, and that's Dover Shein Miskav with the Psik Reisha Delo Michal, and that could be what the Rambam wants to say. This Acher is Lo Michale, he's not getting any benefits from the fact that he was Machshir the Hadas. That seems to be the way the Magid Mishnah would go. Now, Mitch, if I could borrow your Rambam for a second, I just want to see. I seem to recall the Kesef Mishnah here. Let's see. The Kesef Mishnah says the following. First, he quotes the Mishnah, and then he says that Me'asugya Nirish Amutul Lakam Lachiyuk Moshkos Abenu El Shalashan. Okay, fine. That's that. Oh, here's the Kesef Mishnah. Oh, he says, Bagamara Aminan Dahani Mili. Okay, just one second. Oh, here he says, Ochinami Ahod Tanra Bonan. Isa Gemara, Hod Tamra Bonan, Eme Mati, Miyantiv, Mishum, Rabbi Elizabeth, Rabbi Shimon, Omru, Mimati, Vokam, Etaki, Mon, Omru, Ashi, Kon, Shalik, Ton, Lachila, Modu, Sixration, Lo, Diomus, Hochma, Iskim, Disle, Oshat, Achrita, Kloma, Vikame, Chain, Tzarek, Luzu, Enkan, Tikun, Kli, Ume, Acher, Di, Mishkach, Oshat, Achrita, Rashoi, Lelakta, and Liachila, just one second. The Yesh L'tmal Rabbeinu. What bothers the Kesef Mishnah? Shekosav Ovar Malokta V'chui Lomolo Kosav Shetzor Shetia Lo Hoshat Achrita. In other words, he's not satisfied with the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah understood that if you change the gears and it's an acher, he obviously has another oshat that he doesn't need. So oshat, the Kesef Mishnah is not accepting that shot, and therefore lomo lo kosev shitzor shetia lo oshat achriti l'chsheyia mutter. In order to be mutter, in other words, when is it mutter l'lakto machila? That's only because isle oshat l'achrita. The ode, Lama Hutzrich, she lakton echad echad, came to lichton lachila, a few lichton kama biyachad. Now, it's his understanding the gear says we have it in our sperm. Echad echad means single file, he takes one berry off at a time. And he says he doesn't understand, let him take all the berries off in one shot. Me divre rava magindire, shu gores the divre, beno shu lichton achel lachila reze kosher, will a gear sazu, micha. Dafilu kama biyachad shari. He takes out the echad echad, so therefore he can take all the berries off in one fell swoop. The acher to come behind a lomer to lo shari el lamatan li adam acher to Israel shatachrit. So it seems that the Kesef Mishnah begins his analysis of the Rambam with the text that we have, and he ends up with sort of a no winner, you know, so he ends up in a dead end. But then at the end of the end, he mentions the Magid Mishnah with a different Gersa, and that Gersa would solve the problems. So I don't know what that means for me. You know, do I accept the Magid Mishnah's change in the Gersa? Do I want to accept the Gersa as we have it? But then I'm stuck with a bunch of questions. Okay. Okay, so let's present two approaches to the Rambam in the later Achronim. One is the Hafla, and the other is the Rashash. They both lived more or less. Rashash is a little more recent, but the Hafla, let's say, is 150 years ago. The Hafla is bothered by this Rambam for the following reason. He believes, the Hafla, that when the Gemara gives the answer of Islei Hoshat Achrita, the Gemara means to say that it's not a psik resha. Why isn't it a psik resha? Because whether or not this tikkun mana is in fact a tikkun mana will depend upon whether he uses it for the mitzvah. And since he has another Oshata, there's at least a 50% chance that he's not even going to bother using this Oshata, which he's taking the berries off L'Achila, for the mitzvah of Hoshana. Therefore it's not considered a psik resha. That's what the Gemara's answer is. I'll read to you the language of the Hafla. It says, HaGemara Tirtza Demayrisha Memayit HaMemayit Memayit Hadash Shalo. Not like the Magen Mishnah, the Rambam, that Shimon is doing it on behalf of Reuven, so to speak. But rather, Shimon is doing it on his own Hadas. V'lo Asmo, but he himself, Yesh Lo Hadas Acher. That's the Gemara that we have. Ubekai Gavna Shari. Then it's Mutubishim de lo havi psik resha. That's not called a psik resha. Why isn't it psik resha? Because he might not use it. He might not need this hadas. So this is based on the Aruch HaNer. You remember we quoted the Aruch HaNer, that the Aruch HaNer says that whether or not it's tikkun mana depends on, we call it to be determined, whether or not later on you're going to use it. So the Hafla is operating with the same premise. The Hafla was a little bit before the Aruch HaNer, if I'm not mistaken. More or less contemporaries, but... And according to the Hafla, did anybody know what city he was the Rav in? Frankfurt am Main. Yeah, he was a real... So in any event, so he's operating with that premise that whether or not this tikkun mana will depend on ultimately whether you use it. The tikkun is here in the mitzvah itself, and he's not necessarily going to implement the mitzvah with this hadas. On the other hand, the Rambam, the way the Magen Mishnah has the girsa, it's another person who's using this hadas. That doesn't really undermine the psik resha element, unless you can assume that. You see, why is Shimon removing the berries of Reuven's hadas? I mean, but, you know,
he's hungry. He came into the house, he heard him say, oh, you know, I wish I didn't have all these berries, and it looks like a mural outcome.
So what happened to, you understand, did the Rambam have a different...
Nicola?
What happened to the Gemara? The Gemara was saying that it's not a psik resha because he might not use the hadas.
He's trying to please his buddy.
So the Gemara is talking about he himself is removing hadas from his own. He's removing the anovim from his own hadas. He has a storehouse. He has another hadas to substitute. He doesn't need this one, and therefore it's not a psik resha. When the Rambam is introducing a whole other element into the equation, it's not our Gemara. And that is that it's Shimon who's removing the anovim from Reuven's hadas. And I guess, why isn't that... You know what, I think the following. Maybe the Hafla is assuming that the fact that it's Shimon, according to the Rambam, who's removing the anovim from Reuven's hadas, that itself... means that it's not tikkun mana. Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know.
I'm just going to mention about this.
Yeah.
If I do something, it's not mine, it's somebody else's, but I want to do, I'm fairly happy, like water, I'm washing my hands on Shabbat, and I don't, it's a field that belongs to him, but he's my friend. I don't mind if it, you know, I feel good that his house is getting, his place is getting watered. Would that be called nichlay, even though I don't need it?
Good question. I don't know. That you have to see, the place to look is Shabbos Kuf Gimel, that I can tell you. Because the Gemara says, it's Ba'ara Dachrina, right? He's pulling out the weeds from somebody else.
The assumption is that you're just an egoist.
Correct, that's the Gemara calls that Lo Nichole. You know, Sam is asking, but maybe it's Nichole because I'm working on behalf of my friend. But Be that as it may, the Hafla is upset here because he thinks the Gemara set it up beautifully that it's not a Psik Reisha, because he may not need this Hadas, he has another Hadas. By introducing another individual into the equation, in this case Shimon is removing the Anovim from Reuven's Hadas, the Rambam is really obfuscating the whole Sugya. That's not the way the Sugya presents it. Again, we could be Makaris or Rechokim and say, well, it's not far from the Sugya because the Magen Mishnah assumes that this other guy doesn't need it, and therefore maybe it's not a Psik Reisha because he's not being mitaken a mitzvah when he's not using it for the mitzvah. Okay. But then I want to quote to you the Rashash. So the Rashash says the following. He says, Kol she'eino nitzrach lahadas b'shas halakita ein kan tikun klal. So that I think that the Rashash is outspoken about the fact that the Rambam understood that if he doesn't need the hadas, that's not called a tikun one. In other words, you have to set it up that at the time of the action, namely the removal of the berries, that action is a tikkun banah. And he says that at the shas lakita, since eino nitzrach lahadas, he has another hadas, therefore that's not called tikkun klal. Afilu im yishtamesh bahadas zu achar zman. That's the language of the Rashash. So it comes out like this. The Rashash, as opposed to the Aruch Laner and Afla, who was saying, well, maybe he won't use it, and therefore that's not called tikkun banah, but maybe at the other hand he will use it, and then it is tikkun banah. According to the Rashash, there's no tikkun banah here at all. Even if at the end of the day he will use it. And why is it? Because we go back to the Shas Lakita. And if we cannot determine the Shas Lakita that this action is a tikkun banah, because he has another Hoshana in his back pocket, then that's not a malach of tikkun banah. So we're not operating with the question of Psik Reisha or not a Psik Reisha, but according to the Rashash, the Rambam is coming to redefine tikkun banah. And the Rambam is saying that since it's an acher, and therefore at this point in time, he's not a nitzrach, meaning he doesn't need this hadas, that's not called tikkun banah.
So at all?
At all. And the malach of tikkun banah didn't take place. So all this is according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Pligim svirle de li ola miut hanovim choshev tikkun banah, afil kshiyesh lo hadas acher, mishum shekol shehichshir as hadas le mitzvah afal pi she'eno tzorech lo choshev tikkun banah. So it's unbelievable. The Rashash is learning in the Rambam that the machlokas shein Rabbi Elazar of Shimon and the Rabbanon at the end of the sugya has nothing to do with Dovah Shein Miskavin, has nothing to do with Psik Reisha. It's a machlokas about tikkun banah. According to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, since at the point when he removes the hadas, he doesn't need that hadas, therefore it's not a tikkun banah. And the Rabbanon say, I don't care whether he needs it or not. He's doing an action called Netilas HaAdasim, Netilas HaNovim, excuse me, and what?
Someone can use it.
And someone can use it. And therefore, it's a tikkun banah. This hadas has taken on a new status. So the question is whether or not the new status of the hadas as a generator of tikkun banah depends upon whether you use it or not. That is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon and Rabban. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon says, are you going to use it or you're not going to use it? You need it or you don't need it? And the answer is, I'm taking out the berries to eat it. I don't need this hadas. I have another hadas. That's not tikkun banah. And according to Rabbanon, I look at the hadas itself and I ask myself the question, well, is this hadas, as a result of the removing of the anovin, a hadas kosher l'mitzvah? If it's royal l'mitzvah, then you made a tikkun, and that's called tikkun banah. So we have now an inner machlokas in how to define tikkun banah. Is tikkun banah defined by my need at the time that I did the tikkun, or by the object itself? It's almost like subjective versus objective. The Rabbanon are looking at it objectively, and they're saying, look at the object, and the object for sure became kosher. That's tikkun banah. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon is saying, well, look at the person. The person subjectively doesn't need it. He has another oshata. That's not called tikkun banah. This could have tremendous repercussions in Hilchos Shabbos in terms of tikkun banah. But that's the way the Rashash is learning the Rambam. So again, there are two ways of learning this Rambam. The approach of the Hafla is to learn this Rambam as very close to the Gemara And the Gemara is really coming to answer the issue of psik ratio. The Rambam is operating within the framework of Dovashay Miskabi with the psik ratio. And the Rambam is saying that since he has presumably another hadas, right, because he's just doing it on behalf of Reuven and his friend Reuven, then it's lo nichale. And if it's no lo nichale, then it's not a psik ratio. So Joel, you're happy with that, right? That's not Flo's approach. Basically, we're talking about psik ratio lo nichale. According to the Rashash, on the other hand, he's learning in the Rambam that since this other person is not a nitzrach when he takes off the hadas, and that's not called tikkun mana according to Rabbi Elazar Rishon, the Rambam possibly, and the Chachamim on the other hand, all that's tikkun mana because objectively it now became hadas that's kosher.
How does that flow in the Rabbanon?
He's saying in the Rabbanon that they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Dorashenim is Kavayin is Chayav. And period. Therefore, I don't care whether it's Nichole, Lo Nichole, Psikresha, Dorashenim is Kavayin, all those categories fall by the wayside because Kavon is not a prerequisite for a Chiyuv and an Easter of Shabbos. Okay. We mentioned before that Tosfos on Daf Kuf Gimel in Masechet Shabbos writes that Lekel and Meimar came into Israel Shata Achrita Eina Metakin Klum. He's rejecting the Rashash's understanding of the Rambam. The fact that he has another Oshata, that's not going to undermine the violation of Tikkun Mono. Okay. So that means that even after the Gemara introduces Islay Oshat Achrita, we have to be operating within the framework of Rabbi Shimon of Dom Shani Miskavi, because Tosis is insisting that it is Tikkun Mono. You follow? There are two ways of going over here. You can take the Rashash's approach in the Rambam that there is no Tikkun Mono here. Why? Because he's not a nitzrach. At the point of removing the berries, he has another Roshat. He doesn't need this tikkun mana. If you don't need the tikkun mana, it's not tikkun mana. You can't say that according to Tosfos. That could be very good in the Rambam if you want to learn it like that. But it won't fit into Tosfos because Tosfos goes out of his way to tell us that it still is tikkun mana. And yet, it's mutter because he's interested in the berries and he has another Roshat. So obviously Tosfos is operating with the premise that even Lamaskana, when the Gemara introduces the Islay Oshat Achrita, the Gemara never forsook its original position that we're talking about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon standing on his father's shoulders, that with the Dov Shem Miskab. So we're going to have to remove the Psik Resha element here by introducing Islay Oshat Achrita. That brings us much closer to the Rashash's understanding of the Rambam. Okay. Now Tosis there on Daf Kuf Gimel quotes the Aruch that if he's lo nichale, which let's assume he doesn't get any benefit from this malacha, then the Aruch says that despite the fact that it's a psik resha, it's mut. So Tosis really sees in our Gemara of Islay Oshat Achrita a raya to the Shita Sa'aruch, which again I think reflects very well on the Hafla's understanding of the Rambam, that since it's somebody else, he has no benefit, that's a psikreshlo michola. So we don't have to go as far as to say there's no tikkun mana. Now, Tosis goes a step further and he says that even if you reject the Aruch and the heter psikreshlo michole, nevertheless, the Isur Drabbanon modu the psikreshlo michole shari. This is a whole new dimension. We're saying like this: we don't accept the Aruch. But v'amedvar murim, when do we not accept the Aruch? That's only with the Doraisa. If there's a Doraisa at stake, then lo nichle is not going to be mati. But if the iser, in the worst case scenario, is only an iser d'rabbanan, then we can rely on the shita sa'arach, and even the bar plukta, those who reject the arach, would accept the arach. And we're going to use psikresh lo nichle on an iser d'rabbanan. This case of being mamayte anavim, which we wanted to say is a violation of Meleches Makom HaPatish, you know, it's Tikkun Mana, which is one of the Melechas that's also on Yotiv, which is Doraisa, is only the Rabbana. Because physically, he hasn't improved Hadas. And the only improvement is because it has the status of Hadas HaKoshel Mitzvah, so that's only the Rabbana of Tikkun Mana. I just want to mention here in passing that Tikkun Mana is a very unique Melecha in that there are myriads of cases of Drabbanans where the Rabbanan prohibited something that looks like Tikkun Mana.
As a Gezeir or something.
Correct. I would call it a Shvus. Yes. What do I mean by Shvus? A Gezeir is maybe we're afraid that one thing will lead to the other. Shvus is something that looks like a Malacha, sounds like a Malacha, reminds you of a Malacha. Like, for example, if you have Caleb and you want to take him to the mikveh and there's no problem with Hotzah, you know, it's your own local mikveh downstairs. Would you be allowed to be Tovel Caleb on Shabbos or on Yom Tov?
No.
That's also Tikkun Mana. But that, once again, that's only the Rabbana. Why? Because you didn't physically change the Kli. You didn't bang, you know... What do you say?
It just appears as if you're...
Correct. It seems in our mind, you know, in our abstract thinking, that you were Metakin Mana because a minute ago I couldn't use this Kli. Now I'm putting it on the table. And the answer is that's a halachic change in the mana. That's called tikkun mana d'rabbanan, or shvus d'rabbanan. And Tosa seems to assume that even if I don't apply and accept the principle of the aruch, sikresh lo nichle to be matir, that's in a malacha d'oraisa, but if the malacha in the worst case scenario is only d'rabbanan, we're going to rely on the aruch.
We move it more along with the reductionistic concept, the tikkun mana is subjective. Is it possible that Tikkun Mana is totally dependent on whether you can use it? Is there any citation that says that Tikkun Mana is something that's objective regardless of whether you need it? Like if I do put the...
That's the Rashash's understanding of the Chachon.
That's Rash, but I'm saying other than that, is there something...
Other than that?
And Tikkun Mana, is it certain that it's totally objective?
Taking you...
No!
On something that I don't need.
That's the machlokas had to learn this one line.
But you're saying here is because it's a halacha construct that I'm making it kosher.
Oh, you're talking about it a physical construct.
Yeah, the final blow on something.
No. That everybody agrees is objective. Yeah, that's objective.
Okay.
Then, Enam, he says, Tosus, Psikresha dlo nichole be'isa drabonan kal kahai tikun shori.
Is it Rabbanan Kal?
Kal. Now he introduced another element. There are two types of Issa Rabbanan.
Is Kal. Not Issa Rabbanan is Kal.
No. He's saying an Issa Rabbanan Kal. So there are two types of Issa Rabbanan. So there's an Issa Rabbanan Chamur, where it's Domel of Malach, it's similar to Malach. And then there's an Issa Rabbanan, which is not really similar to the Malach. It's just like reminiscent of the Malach. But it's one step far removed, and it's an Issa Rabbanan Kal. And there we're going to rely on Sekret Shlo Nichol. Inami. Another answer to Tosus, Yeshlom the Psikresh lo nichale b'moko mitzvah shari. For the sake of a mitzvah, we're going to accept the Shita Sa'arach. Psikresh lo nichale is mut. So here he invokes a famous Sugyan Zvachim, where the man took upon himself a nidova to bring Yayin al Gabi Mizbeach. Okay, that's called the Nidvas Yayin. And he has to do what's called Ziluf. Ziluf means to drop the mayim. I'm sorry, to drop the yayin onto the esh. Now here he's involved in a lav d'oraisa of lo yechava in Vayikra Perek Vav, I think it is right. So you're not allowed to extinguish the fire on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says in Zvachin, but he's not miskaving. Like his kavod is only to burn up the yayin. That's his mitzvah of ziluf. He has no interest in putting out the fire. So, of course, the Gemara, whenever you quote Tom Shechus Kavin, it's a psikresha. So the Gemara answers, the islay betipin dachos, that he drops very small drops onto the ish. So the Pashup shot in the Gemara is that if he drops small drops on the ish, we don't know, in fact, whether or not In other words, it could be the fire is intense enough to lick up these small drops, and you'll never do any kibui to the ash. But Rashi seems to indicate that even if he does the Ziluf B'tipin Gassos, and we know it's going to cause some kibui, but nevertheless, since he has the potential of doing it B'tipin Dakos, therefore it's not a psikration. Do you hear this? In other words, that psikration doesn't depend upon the way he's actually performing it. If that's certain, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a psikration, because he could do it B'tipin Dakos. That's what the Gemara means.
The Var Mitzvah is a publication that causes the Rabbanan, right? Not the Araisa. Var Mitzvah wouldn't be matter a psikration of the Araisa, right?
I don't know. He says the following. Yesh ol inam yesh lom the psikration b'derabbanan mutar b'makom mitzvah. Yeah. So you combine these two elements. So for example, in the case of Ziluf Yayin, where he's coming to be mekayim his mitzvah, there we can allow for this kind of psikration or nichol, meaning for the mitzvah he doesn't need tipin gasos, he can accomplish the mitzvah tipin dakos, and therefore there's no psikration b'makom mitzvah. That could really help for our sugya, because our sugya of Islay Hoshana Chrita would seem to be an explicit raya to the Shita Sa'arach, that since he has another Hoshana, it's Lo Michale. But the answer is, even if I disagree with the Aruch, I can accept the Aruch B'makom Mitzvah. So for the sake of the Mitzvah of Arava, excuse me, of Hadassim in this case, I'm going to allow him to remove the berries if it's Lutzarach Achila, and despite the fact that it's secret.
If you're going to say it's for a mitzvah, then you've got to say that he hasn't got another one.
Ah, okay, excellent. Since he has another al shata, why is that called the Baka mitzvah? He's not using it. And I want to add even another kasha that I have, Levi, another kasha that I have, because the Baka mitzvah, in the case of Ziluf Yayin, means that as he's doing the kibui, he's being mekayim a mitzvah. It's not that he's doing the kibui for the sake of a mitzvah. You know, that's going another step further. Maybe you could allow removing the berries if at the moment you're removing the berries
simultaneously,
exactly, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of lula. But that's not the case. He's actually removing it. Now he has the hadas. He puts the hadas inside the kashlach, and then he goes there and does the mitzvah. Meaning, but Mako mitzvah could be interpreted in one of two ways.
Like culminating with the rabbi, it has to be
simultaneous. The idna, as the Gemara calls. No, but I meant to say something else. There are two ways of learning the Mako mitzvah. One way is to say for the sake of the mitzvah, and the other way is saying at the moment of the mitzvah. And they're fundamentally two different approaches. One is that the ends justify the means, and the other way of saying it is that if it's a mitzvah act, then the mitzvah act changes the whole nature of the action. It makes it as if the kavana is l'shem mitzvah. It's no longer a kavana l'shem malacha, but it's rather kavana l'shem mitzvah. Transformation, or whatever the word I'm looking for is. I'm going on zero sleep, so bear with me. This sleepless business is really coming rough on me. But, and then I keep waking up every 5 minutes to see if it's time to sleep. Okay, so that's why I'm standing today. So again, what I wanted to say was that, again, I'm going to use the word transformation, it's probably the wrong word I need, but what I can do is I can transform the malacha on a drabbanan level. In other words, if the malacha is only drabbanan, then the drabbanan say that if your kavanah is l'shem mitzvah, even though you're doing a malacha drabbanan again, then it's not considered a ma'aseh malacha, it's considered a ma'aseh mitzvah. But I can't apply that to the case of Hoshana, unless I assume that he removes the berries as he's picking up the Hoshana. Then Tosis has another possibility, and he wants to suggest that even if we reject the Aruch, but nevertheless, it at least becomes what's called a malach shen tzricha legufa. Mitch, you were very eager about that. Malach shen tzricha legufa. And he says that malach shen tzricha legufa, we passing like Rav Shimon, is potter of al asur. But b'makom mitzvah, we're going to be mat. So we can introduce malach shen tzricha legufa. Now, pretty much any of these approaches could work in the Rambam, where I'm taking off your anovim from your hadas, and presumably, as the Magen Mishnah assumes, I don't need this hadas. We don't have to remove Meleches Makom HaPatish, because Meleches Tikumana here is objective, and I was definitely Machshir this hadas. But we can introduce the Aruch, or alternatively, if we don't want to introduce the Aruch, which is the way we were going, basically in the approach of the Hafla, is we could say any number of other answers. We could say that Tikkun Mone here would only be a Darabbanan, and we could say that if it's a Darabbanan, even if I reject the Aruch, I can apply the Aruch's logic in the case of an Issa Darabbanan. I can say that if it's an Issa Darabbanan, they will not kill a Tzorach Mitzvah. All these various options now open up in the Rambam. Again, if you go with the Rashash wants to say that it's not Tikkun Mone. And then the Rambam is mamish paskin like Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon against the Rabbanan, because Rabbanan say it's objectively tikkun money, even if you don't need the hadas. And that puts you out on the limb. If you go on the other hand with Afla, that the Rambam is operating within the framework of Dovah Shein Miskavim, but it's Segreish Lo Nichole, and you assume like the Magen Mishnah that he has no need for this hadas, then you could apply the principle that this tikkun money is only Drabbanan, and b'mokum Drabbanan, they were matir for a mitzvah, or alternatively, the Rambam just accepts the Shita Sahara hook, line, and sinker, and that means that it's a segreish lo nichle, it's mutar l'chatchila. Reb Chaim in the Sefer assumes that you can identify the Rambam with the Shita Sahara, because the Rambam has a case where he's trying to protect himself from a nachash, and he captures the nachash, and the Rambam allows it. And Reb Chaim wants to assume, if I remember correctly, that it's the Rambam is operating with Psikresh Lo Nichali, because he's not interested in capturing the nachash, he's not a zookeeper, he's interested in protecting himself from the nachash. Okay. Now, I think last week I gave you out a page, which I never got a chance to learn with you. And if you happen to have it, it's called Lachem B'Esrog. So before we see this page inside, let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara now is on Daf Lamed Hey of an Aleph. And we're talking about an Esrog Shalmaisa Shein. Now, the Gemara establishes that an esrog to be kosher has to be royal achila. The Torah says lachem, and lachem means lachol hana'oschen, that you could have benefit from. So the Mishnah says that if you have an esrog of arla during the first 3 years of the tree, then it's possible. Why? Because it has no din achila, you're not allowed to eat arla. What about ma'aser sheni? Now ma'aser sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim is certainly also b'achila. And that's possible l'esrog. But what about Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara quotes Machlokas here between Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovin and Rav Asi. Rav Chiya Bar Ovin says that since Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim is mutar b'achila, therefore it's lachem. Comes along Rav Asi and he says, no, I have another issue. There's another condition. Lachem doesn't only mean that you can eat it, a heter achila, but it also means a din mamon, that it's yours. And we've discussed this on various occasions, that lulav hagazel is possible because the Torah says lachem. You remember we had a discussion about giving your lulav to a child, and then he can't give it back to you, so you don't have lachem. So gazel is possible. Lulav shel hefker, you can't be yotze if you aren't coded. You need ownership. So comes along Rav Asi, and he says, well, do you own Ma'aser Sheni? Now, intuitively, what would be your answer? You're in Yerushalayim. The Torah commands you to what? To eat it. Is it yours?
The things you can't do with it.
Ah, okay. So you're a step ahead of each other. I was hoping to evoke the following response for you, that if you can eat it, it must be yours. I mean, that makes it valuable for you. You know, you can really have a hoopla with this Ma'aser Sheni. Invite your friends, you know, have a whole Ma'aser Sheni party. So Dr. Joel points out that I'm not exactly allowed to eat it. I mean, I'm allowed to eat it just like a Kohen is allowed to eat from, let's say, a Karvan Chatos or a Karvan Asham. Does that mean it's his? The Torah is commanding him to eat it, but it's Kachiv. It really belongs to Kodesh. So that's the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, the famous Sheet of Rabbi Meir, that Maaser Sheni is Mama Gavah. And therefore the Gemara says in Kiddushin, if a man would give Maaser Sheni to a woman in Yerushalayim, it's Ereb Mekudeshesli, according to Rabbi Meir, Ereb Mekudeshes. Why? Because he doesn't own it. So the same thing, says Rashi, applies to an Esrog of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir would say that you're not allowed to use the Esrog for a mitzvah, because, alright, you're allowed to eat the Esrog, it has a din achila, but it has no din mama, because Maaser Sheni is mama gavah. So that's the sugya here, Adaf Lamed He. Now, you and I would say, if we didn't know any other Rambams, you know, that we paskin like the Chachamim. A machlokas chin Rav Meir Chachamim, we certainly paskin like Chachamim, which means that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hejot. It's my personal ownership. So, you know, Rav Asi's pointing out something that's theoretical, and it's actually correct theoretically, that according to Rabbi Meir, Mamon Gavah means it's excluded from the mitzvah of Esther, but we paskin like the Chachamim. And if we pass like the Chachamim, then certainly you can use it for a mitzvah, correct? So let me just... You can certainly use it for the mitzvah, because you have lachem, you own it. Okay. Now, the Gemara points out that this statement of Rav Asi, that according to Rav Meir, you cannot use the Esrog for the mitzvah of Esrog because Mamon Gavah, and it doesn't have a din of lachem, applies in two other cases. Number one, in challah, the Torah says, "Reishis ariso sechem." So you have to have ownership over the isa. In this case, it's an isa of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. According to Rav Meir, it's Mamon Gavah, and therefore you're not chayav in challah. And then the Gemara says he can't be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. That according to Rabbi Meir, if Maaser Sheni was used to make matzah and Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavah, then it's not yours. So Gemara says, well, where does it say in the Torah that, you know, that you have to own matzah? So the Gemara says we have a hekesh, not a hekesh, actually, gzeir shava, lechem lechem, that equates challah and matzah. And if you're potter from challah, then you're potter from matzah. So it's almost as if the Torah said matzaschem, that it's your matzah, and according to Rabbi Meir, Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavah, it's not your matzah, you can't be yotze with matzah of lech of Maaser Sheni. Okay, so in this essay, he points out that there are four Rambams that we have to look at. Three out of the four are very consistent. You can almost predict what the Rambam is going to say about an esrog shel Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, about matzah of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, about challah of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. And in three out of four of the Rambams, the Rambam is very consistent. So see, Mitch, if you could help us. I don't know how many of these Rambams you'll find. I think two out of three you definitely should find. One is Perek Ches Milchus Lulav Halacha Beis. And that's going to be my Sersheni as far as the mitzvah of Lulav is concerned. So Esra. Yeah, my Sersheni? You want to just read that part that's relevant? We don't have to go through the whole Rambam.
Esrog shall truma tahora v'shal maaser sheni b'Yerushalayim lo yitol shema yachshiro l'tuma.
Okay, that's a different discussion. But the imnatal...
Imnatal kosher.
Kosher. Yeah, that's the main point, is imnatal kosher. Again, there's a whole sugi which we didn't get up to on daf on the hand base. Why l'chadchili shouldn't use maaser sheni? But the esrog of maaser sheni is kosher l'mitzvah. The Rabbanan don't want you to use that if you have other options, because it might lead to tumor. But im not al kosh. Okay, now we have a second Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Matzah, that you should have also. Perek Vav Halacha Ches. And that's going to be the case of Matzah of Maaser Sheni, B'Yerushalayim. Perek Vav Halacha Ches. The trouble with this page I gave you is that it's full of printing mistakes, so I can't promise you it's in the Rambam. The last thing we need is a Rambam Hilchos Bikurim. You don't have that, do you, Mitch? No, Bikurim is... No, that's in Zeroyim. So I don't know if I can trouble you. Yeah, thanks so much. It's the Rambam Zeroyim.
Rabbi Meir, I say it's your Seder. If I gave my matzah to the kid, I couldn't take it back from him.
Excellent.
Is he going to say that?
Excellent question. But that's not Rabbi Meir, by the way. Rabbi Meir is only applying the principle of matzaschem to exclude a Maisa Sheni Dika matzah. You follow me? But in principle, it could be. You want to see if you can find
it. It belongs to that. It's yours.
I don't know which halacha Perek Vav.
The Perek Vav of
Bikurim. Hilchos Bikurim. Bikurim is, I think, the next to the last in Zeroyim, I think. So, Mitch, what do you find in Hilchos Matzah? Anything about Maisa Sheni there?
Maisa Sheni, Efshur, Sheni, Yochal, B'chol. It's about Kohenim, Yotzim, B'chala, Vitruma, Apokishim, Matzah, Sheni, Ruyo, L'chol, Adam.
Yotzim ba matzah shel maaser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Excellent. Yotzim ba matzah sheni b'Yerushalayim. Okay, so the Rambam is basically saying you're allowed to eat it. But what about Rabbi Meir? See, again, we don't know what the Rambam sheet is about Rabbi Meir. Correct?
Maybe towards the bottom. I'm not sure what you're looking for.
Isa Shalmasa Shemi Bishalayim Chayevas Fakhala. So, on both sides, we have three Ramams that are very consistent. Number one, the Ramam in Hilchas Lulav. The Ramam says that Esrik Shalmasa Shemi Bishalayim Im Not Al Kosher, Yotze Yidei Chovaso. Number two, the Ramam in Hilchas Matzah, when the Ramam says Yotzim Bimatza Shalmasa Shemi Bishalayim. And number three, the Ramam says that Isa Shalmasa Shemi Chayevas Bechal. So all this fits into a nice package, and the assumption is that the Rambam is passing like the Chachamim, and therefore Maisa Sheni is Momen Hejel. Do you have ownership of it? In the case of Esrog, for sure that the Rambam has no other choice, because if you yotze with an Esrog Shem Maisa Sheni Bishalayim, and the Rambam and the Gemara, and the Torah itself says, "V'lakachem lachem." You have to own the esrog. The Rambam must be holding like the Chachamim, because Rabbi Meir holds Momon Gavah. And then we have the Rambam in Hilchos Matzah, and we're assuming now that even the Chachamim have the Gzereshov lechem lechem. So we require Matzaschem, just like we require Arisol Sechem. So Rambam says that in Isa Shalmaisa Shem Yisrael is Chayemis Bechala. That's because he's passing the Chachom in Momen Hejot, so you have a resource Sechem. The Rambam Hilchos Matzah would require Matzaschem, which is a pasuk that I just invented, it doesn't say that, but through the Gzeir Shoma. But the Rambam holds that we pass like the Chachom in the Momen Hejot, and therefore it's your Matzah. So it's Matzaschem.
Does it say here with the Chala B'Yerushalayim?
It says B'Yerushalayim, right? Isa Shalmaisa Shem Yerushalayim is Chayemis Bechal. Okay. All this is fine and dandy. The only problem is the fourth Rambam. And he says that the Rambam in the fourth Rambam, Perek Vav Hilchos Bikurim, holds, like Rabbi Meir, that Maisa Sheni is Mamon Gavah. I mean, that seems to explode everything. Now, where does the Rambam paskin that Maisa Sheni is Mamon Gavah? Did I tell you that? I don't think I told you that.
Not yet.
Okay. So that's a Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Sheni, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Zayin. So I'm going to ask you, Sam, if you started a mitzvah, if you don't mind, continue. But don't lose this place. Maybe we'll put this in here. And now we're opening up Hilchos Maisa Sheni. Okay. Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Zayin.
Bottom of the page. Oh, okay.
You can't be more black and white. The Rambam says, "My sisheni, momon gavahu, shenemar lashem hu."
What's that regarding? What's that?
My sisheni, momon gavahu. I mean, it's literally black and white. So the one who raises this question is the Mari Kurkus. The Mari Kurkus, as you know, was one of the Megurashei Sfarad five centuries ago. And he has an extensive commentary on the Rambam. And in Hilchos Bikurim, where was it? Perik Yud, Perik Vav. Now I lost the place. Halacha Dalit. Isa Shal Maisa Sheni B'Yushalayim Chayeves Bechala. He says, Divrei Rabbeinu B'Bava Zut Mu'anetzli. In other words, the Rambam would make sense if he passed like the Chachamim that my Sashedi is Momen Hejah. But the Rambam in fact paskins that my Sashedi is Momen Gavah.
Maybe just talk about Bikurim in that case.
What do you mean? It's not just the Bikurim. Wait a second. When you say Bikurim, you mean Hilchos Bikurim. Here we're talking about in Hilchos Bikurim, Chal. Right, Hilchos Bikurim is mostly dedicated to the laws of Chal. It's also dedicated to the mitzvah of Bikurim. But in the mitzvah of Challah, the Rambam says that Ma'aseh Sheni is Chayav B'Challah. How can he say that if you assume Mamon Gavah? That's the Mari Kurkus's question over here. Is the door closed? I don't know why I hear so much noise.
Maybe I'll just ask for a little bit of quiet. Okay. Do you mind if I close your door? Because I'm questioning a customer.
Alright.
No, I was just thinking about with Bikurim. Bikurim itself is the person can't eat it. The person who brings Bikurim doesn't eat it.
Can't eat it.
Yeah, whereas with challah and with matzah, he himself eats it.
Correct. But again, the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aseh Sheni, the Rambam says the Ma'aseh Sheni is Mamon Gavah. Yeah. And therefore you can't give it to Matana, you don't have Kinyanim on it. So if you don't have Kinyanim on it, how does it become Lachem? So this is the Mari Kurkus. So listen to the Mari Kurkus' answer. He says the following. HaRambam Pasak Kirabi Chia Bar Ovin Udalo Kirav Asi. In other words, we've been building all our understanding on one premise, that since Rav Asi made the statement that according to Rabbi Meir, Mamon Gavoa, and therefore you can have a problem in Esrog and in Matzah and in Challah, that the Rabbi Paskins like Rav Asi, and therefore we have an issue in all these three cases according to Rabbi Meir. However, we assume that the Rambam paskens like the Chacham, and Rav Asi would agree that according to Chacham you could be Yotze in all these cases because it's Mamon and Hejav. And then we ask the Kasha, but the Rambam himself is committed to Rabbi Meir. The answer is that the Rambam never accepted the Shita Rav Asi. Rav Asi was under the assumption that we have two conditions in Lachem. Lachem has to be Yeshlo Heter Achilo, and has to be Yeshlo Din Mamon, you have to own it. But the Rambam never accepted Rav Asi. And therefore the Rambam only requires a heter achil. And there is no din mamon. Ela ki Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin, Hagmara hevia pluta. There was a pluta between Rav Asi and Rav Chiya bar Ovin with regard to Esrog Shel Oral. So according to Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Esrog Shel Oral is possible because ein bo din achil. According to Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Esrog Shel Oral is possible because Eino Din Mamon. That has to do with another principle called Yisuri Hano Eino Mamon. You can't own Yisuri Hano. It's not called the Shavu Pruta. So we assume that the Rambam accepts Rav Asi that you need a Din Mamon. And if you need a Din Mamon, you'd have to, you know, this whole issue of Esrog and Ma'aseh Sheni is dependent upon Chacham Rav Meir, whether it's Mamon Gavah, Mamon Hejod. He says no. That the Rambam accepts that there's a din of heter achila, and that's a prerequisite in Esrog, and that's called lachem. Right, the Torah says lachem lachem. It has to be roy lachem lechol hanaschem. And the Gemara then analyzes, well, what's the difference between Rav Asi and Rav Chiya bar Ovin? After all, they both agree that you need a din achila, a heter achila. And the answer is, says the Gemara, "Nafkamina l'maisa sheni b'Yerushalayim alibid Rabbi Meir," which means that according to Rav Chiya bar Ovin, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you could be yotze with Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim because it's Lachem. Lachem means you have a heter achila. Whereas Rav Asi says that according to Rabbi Meir, Lachem means that you require a din mamon, and Rabbi Meir holds that Maisa Sheni is mamon gavah. The Rambam is going to paskin like Rav Chiya bar Ovin, and therefore what makes it into Lachem to fulfill the achila? And therefore Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim is certainly Lachem. And the Rambam never accepted Rav Asi's expansion that the requirement of Lachem means a din mamon. And therefore, even though the Rambam on the one hand passes like Rav Meir, the Maaseh Sheni is not your mamon, it's mamon gavah, but nevertheless he can pass it any yotze the mitzvah of Esrog, and for that matter matzah and challah, because all that the Torah requires in Lachem is that you have a heter. I had to achila. So even though Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim, might not be your mom, but you have a heter achila. Very sharp. I mean, we were thrown aback over here. We were thrown off track. We said to ourselves, how can the Rambam possibly maintain that you could be yotze your mitzvah of lachem with an esrog shel Maaseh Sheni, when the Rambam himself passes like Rav Meir and Hilchos Maaseh Sheni, that Maaseh Sheni is mamon gavah, it's not yours. The answer is the Rambam never had this requirement of lachem. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that the nafkamina between Rav Chiya bar Ovin and Rav Asi is Maaseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Rav Asi says you need a din mamon, and therefore you're not yotze because mamon gavah according to Rav Meir. Rav Chiya bar Ovin says there never was a requirement of din mamon. Ayin Torah says lachem. Lachem means that you have a heter achila. Lachol hanasa. And the Rambam passed it like Rav Chiya bar Ovin.
The whole idea of giving a kid the estro, he can give it back to you, is because it's in a mamon. If it's only a din of achila, the kid can eat it. I can give back me.
And certainly you could eat it as
right.
Well.
So maybe there's no problem giving the kid your estro according to the Rambam.
So that's what this article is all about. How can we reconcile this understanding of the Rambam, the Ma'ariv Kurkus, with the fact that Lulav HaGozel is possible, with the fact that Lulav Shel Hefker is possible? If you give a Lulav to a cut and he can't give it back to you, you have a problem. It's not Lachem. Lulav HaShaul is possible. Now you're telling me Lachem only requires a Din Achila? And if it's Mamon Gavah in the case of Maaseh Sheni, no problem. Why? Because you can eat Maaseh Sheni Yerushalayim. So what about this whole din of Lachem? You know, the truth is that this kasha is really a kasha even before the Ma'ariv Kurkus. How do we understand the Gemara? The Gemara is saying that Maaseh Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, is kosher l'mitzvos, even though it's mamon gavah. That's according to Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin. How does Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin understand that? I think Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin denies the halacha of lachem as a prerequisite mama, that it's got to be yours. I mean, what's he going to tell you? That you can steal an esrog of the yotze? You forget about mitzvah mama beir. What's he going to say about an esrog shel hefker? And he has kavana not to be kona the esrog. So you're going to tell me he's yotze? Why is Maaseh Sheni any better than hefker? Again, Maaseh Sheni according to Rabbi Meir, mamon gavah. Why is it any better than hefker or gezel? Or the case where the cotton can't give it back to you. Yesh l'tmar. Okay, this is the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. The sugi of Amankari. Who remembers the sugi of Amankari? Right, the whole acrobatics that they tried to tell the Amankari, who were taking the Adasim from the fields of the Goyim, and these fields were presumably stolen, and how to avoid gzela. So you do a shina, you do a yerush, and then a shina rishus, and the whole sugya over there. Kidei shiyeh lachem, so to make sure it's lachem, that it shouldn't be gozel.
Well, you know.
So why do we need all that? I mean, all that we need really is that it should be a heter achila. The Gemara is not operating with heter achila. The Gemara is operating with a kinyan mama, that it has to be your lachem. So the whole premise of the sugya is built on the fact that lachem means mama. And the Rambam is going to paskin all these dinim. He's going to try to avoid gezel at all costs. Yeah, what he said.
The concept of achila by lulav and hadas and an araba.
No, just by only by esrog.
The Amankari is talking about hadas.
Ah, So we're going to say the following, that maybe there are two dinim. With regard, you know, the problem is there's only one possible effect, but let me just see if I can explore what you say.
Is an issue?
What do you say?
Hamna is an issue by Maaseh Sheni?
What do you mean by Sasheni is chayv and achila? I don't know what you mean by hana. I mean achila.
Can you use it for other things?
Ah, oh, you mean to say other things that are making it impossible for you to eat it? If you, let's say you destroy it, then that's a problem of hefsek ma'aser sheni. But wait a second, I just want to Mitch is touching on a very interesting possibility. I want to investigate it for a moment. Maybe the word lachem subdivides into two concepts. With regard to esrog, I could say that lachem only requires achila, right? But with regard to
can I just trouble you to close the door? I keep begging you. It's a very thin wall. When we move the Shem to our prior and permanent residence, all these trials will be survived. I can't hear that.
So again, with regard to the other minim, then the Torah requires lachem means it's got to be your bile. So therefore, lulav hagozel is possible, right? And the avankri sugya is in the case of adasim, where it's not a yeshvo din achila. Therefore, lachem means you've got to own it. But maybe in the case of esrog, you don't need to own the esrog. What you need is an achila. The only technical problem is, the word lachem now becomes relative. You know, it means one thing with regard to three out of four of the meaning. It takes on a whole different meaning. If there's a din of lachem and ownership in three out of the four meaning, I would think that it should be a din of lachem in esrog as well. Now we're saying we'll drop the ball on lachem as far as ownership is concerned, and now we're going to reinterpret lachem, and all we need in esrog is only going to be what? Royal Achil. If it's Mutab Achil like my Sashem Yushalayim, I don't care about Lachem. I can drop the requirement to Lachem. Mitch, that's a brilliant chiddush. Again, it's a little bit problematic technically in terms of what does the word Lachem mean to say that, you know, we're going to raise the bar and the requirements of Lachem in three out of four of the meaning, but we're going to drop the bar with regard to Esther and say just all you need is Royal Achil. That's Lachem. Okay. Kenzan. I can live with that. But this article is built on the Urayim. Okay? What's the Shitas HaYurayim? So let me read to you the Shitas HaYurayim. The Urayim says that the reason why the whole Sugya of Avankari revolves around Yeush and Shina Rishus and seems to be completely oblivious to another problem, namely mitzvah bo b'avera. He says, because we're talking, says the Urayim, about Gezel Hagoy. Okay? And Airi Lamandi Omar Gezel Hagoy Mutter. There are two Mani Omrim where the Gezel Hagoy is Mutter. This sugya is going according to the Mani Omer of Gezel Hagoy Mutter. And therefore, he says there's no problem with mitzvah baba there. That's the Urayim. Yeah, we're going to have to revisit the Urayim. We once discussed this, but. Oh. So it comes out like this, that according to the Urayim, there's no issue of Gezel Hagoy B'Toras Isur, but nevertheless, there's a problem of Gezel Hagoy B'Toras Mom. In other words, even if you hold a Gezel HaGoy is mutter, it doesn't mean that it's yours. It still belongs to the God. And the whole sugya is trying to solve the problem of ownership through various methods. Even if you hold Gezel HaGoy is mutter. Okay, let me just read this to you. He says, Mavur b'yareim, sha'af l'man yomer Gezel HaGoy mutter, b'komakom l'choshev l'chem shal Yisrael. It doesn't become yours. You still have to acquire ownership over it, and the Gemara is looking for a way of acquiring ownership through Shini Rishus, through Shini Hashem, which means that if, let's say, the guy cuts it down himself, then you can now take it from the guy, and that's called Shini Rishus. Now, wait a second. If a, Oh, that's mincha?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't realize it was davening mincha. So let's stop for mincha, and Belinda will try to finish this article tomorrow.